Thank you very much. My name is Bernadette Bodenel-Bauer, and I'm Associate Professor and Chief of the Division of Social Epidemiology at Mount Sinai School of Medicine. And I'm actually going to continue with the theme that we just heard, and I'm actually really excited about being set up as I was. So we already know that NIH policy and guidelines on the inclusion of women and minorities as subjects in clinical trials in 1993 and amended in 2001 mandates that women and minorities and their subpopulations must be included in clinical research and trials. We know that minorities and underserved populations account for one-third of the American population, but less than one-tenth of the U.S. clinical trial participants. The low rates of women and these racial ethnic minorities in neurological clinical trial participation is even more abysmal. And if you don't really understand the impact of neurological diseases or trials, stroke, just one of many neurological diseases, accounts for being the leading cause of disability and the third leading cause of death in the United States. And Black and Latino populations are at 2 to 3 times greater risk of incidence of stroke, other neurological diseases that are very powerful, very important, and that we need to have full participation in clinical trials include things like ALS and epilepsy and myasthenia, and the list just goes on. So I'm going to take some of what we just heard, and I'm going to focus it on neurological diseases in particular. So the projected change in U.S. population, coupled by the staggeringly low rates of minority participation in clinical trials, I think underscores the importance of addressing and overcoming barriers of minority enrollment and retention, and I'm going to say in neurological clinical trials. And there's actually been extensive research on barriers to minority recruitment and retention from patient and some from research perspectives, but I think the barriers are compounded by the unique challenges when conducting neurological clinical trials. And so I want you to bear with me on this because I want to try to make the case that neurological diseases present very unique challenges. The first kind of unique challenge in terms of participation in trials has to do with the clinical environment. There's an acute nature often associated with neurological disorders. So you'll hear me talking a lot about stroke because stroke is what I do, but people present to the emergency room and they need treatment, and part of treatment are disease clinical trial options, and these decisions have to be made in a very quick manner, within an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours after symptoms. And so you're not dealing with an informed consent that you can go home and read and share with your family and discuss. You're talking about making a decision under some degree of a lot of degree of uncertainty, a lot of pressure, and a lot of uncertainty. There's a prognosis ambiguity that's associated with a lot of neurological diseases. So you're the patient, you're the patient's family, and you don't know what's going on, and you have to make decisions quickly, but you also have a researcher who also doesn't know what the prognosis is in the best case scenario or in the worst case scenario. The emergency department, the neurointensive care unit, or heading off into surgery present complex medical clinical environments. There's the use of proxy and surrogate consent, which I think add to complexity. And of course, there's very difficult research procedures, often including things like the request for genetic testing, concerns of potentially toxic medication, and invasive procedures often involving, or most often for neurological diseases, involving the brain. You have a patient population who, if they're able to be part of this informed consent scenario, has limited knowledge or misconception of neurological disorders and the brain. I maintain that the U.S. population has been under-educated about the brain and that and neurological disease, and that has actually caused there to be a poor perception of disorders of the brain, often associated with stigma and shame, and that on top of all of this, the patient population is again often incapacitated or seen as decisionally incapable, could be because of the organic nature of the disease, as in diseases like dementia, or medication. There's a number of medications that actually influence cognition. So it's a bad setup then for the patient and their families to be asked to participate in these neurological clinical trials. And the literature has not really explored the researcher experience on minority recruitment and enrollment, and that's what I'd like to do here. So NIMIT, the National Initiative for Minority Involvement in Neurological Clinical Trials, is an NIMHD-funded grant which is really trying to expand and enhance our knowledge of barriers, like we saw in the previous presentation, and the retention of minority and underserved populations. And so the first aim is really to conduct formative evaluation of these barriers and enablers, and we're going to try to capture the breadth and depth of the neurological researcher experience, identify these unique challenges, and expand on the current state of recruitment and retention, all towards developing some type of best practices toolkit for dissemination for neurological researchers, and then ultimately working with our colleagues to develop local and national policy guidelines and recommendations. So the first thing I want to talk about is this 40-item online survey that we focused on. The content area included research training, recruitment planning, NIH policy and guidelines, because a lot of researchers don't even know that there is a guideline for minority inclusion, and then if they do know, don't know what to do with it. In the informed consent process and barriers and best practices, and then we also had, very importantly, multiple choice and open-ended questions which were created and adapted from a number of surveys. And so our survey participants for what we're showing today included attendees from the 2012 Princeton Cerebral Vascular Disease Conference, which chooses premier academic researchers in the field of cerebral vascular disease research. And these are also seasoned investigators. And so we distributed, 6 months after the Princeton Conference, we distributed a survey via SurveyMonkey, and then did two follow-up reminders within a six-week period. And so these are the results of the survey. So let me just make sure. So we had about 70% of survey researchers responding to the survey, right? We put on 93 stroke investigators, a diverse sample, over 30% of respondents self-identified as non-white. One-fifth of respondents note fluency in languages other than English. And just like we saw in the previous presentation, we have, as I said, a little bit of a race-ethnic mix. We have very involved clinical trial researchers who have almost 50% reporting that they've done more than 10 trials, most coming from urban or working in urban areas. And what I think is interesting is in thinking about what vulnerable populations that they serve, 80% of them say that they serve populations who are at some point unable to consent. We also then looked at investigator active strategies to incorporate the NIH policy and guidelines. So how are they incorporating these guidelines? And we found under pre-study procedures that about 50% did adjust the research to be in line with the NIH criteria to be inclusive of minorities, and that that same 50% actively set minority recruitment goals. About 36% reported staff members working on projects with minorities were required to complete cultural sensitivity or cultural competency training. That's only 36%. And that 50% reported collaborating with minority community groups or members in study design and planning. In terms of research procedures, languages, they reported that there was language translation survey, 80% of people reporting that there was some language translation survey, language translators to be part of the surveys. This was very, I think, interesting. So we asked researchers, in your opinion, what are the three largest obstacles to enrolling minorities in neurological clinical trials? Now, we didn't ask what we thought that they thought were the biggest. We actually asked what they themselves, the researchers, felt. And what they reported, 58% reported mistrust of research in the medical system, 52% lack of awareness about trials, and 39% communication issues. The point being that the researchers are blaming the community for lack of participation in trials. 5 minutes. Okay, I'm going. Okay. We also asked, in your opinion, which of the following play a role in hindering minority participation, retention in neurological trials? And this is a little bit more mixed. Time commitment, lack of understanding of research. Again, I think blame on the community. Transportation, I assume blame on the community. Mistrust of science and health literacy level. So it's all about the community. It's the community's fault that they're not participating in trials. We also asked open-ended questions about patient and family caregivers. And this is what we found to be most interesting. And that is that there was a lot of discussion in their open-ended component about a lack of understanding of research that was really magnified within an acute emergent setting. And they, the researchers, had problems with the timing and the setting and how to be able to approach families. And so this was really their problem, and they didn't know how to deal with it. They, the researchers, did not know how to deal with discussing the uncertainty of prognosis and this whole mismatch. You know, I don't think your loved one's going to live, and the family saying he's going to be fine in a couple of weeks. And there's this mismatch that continues to happen. And then finally, this decision-making process on trial participation in an acute time setting that the investigators themselves were really having a hard time working through that. They expressed difficulty explaining concepts like risk probabilities, randomization, placebo trials, and neurological concepts, types of strokes, effects of strokes, rehabilitation, complete recovery, independence, things like that. So they had the problems explaining those to the populations that we were interested in. So our survey results informed then a series of focus groups and key informant interviews, which allowed really for an in-depth probe to explore further these unique neurological challenges and the key themes that lay populations' lack of knowledge of neurological conditions and caregiver burden. So some of these quotes, because neurological injury occurs, a proxy now has to make the decision about a loved one in a short period of time to enroll in a clinical trial, but it's not your risk. It's a risk for a loved one. And then, you know, so these themes, patient denial and stigma. Patients don't want other people to know that they have this neurological disease. They don't want their job to know. It's a stigma. In their mind, they don't want to be reminded of it. And so if you're not part of a trial, then you don't have to be reminded that you have this. So I think our survey results continue to contribute, I think, to a really new area of literature, which I think we really have to continue to focus on. Our researchers revealed substantial variability in a variety of research practices and training. Researchers review obstacles in recruitment and retention as patient-centered. And what are we going to do next? We're testing and developing strategies to improve this recruitment, really focused in on getting on dealing with some of these really important neurological concepts. And we're also examining structure and characteristics of stroke clinical trials and collaborative networks through a network kind of analysis. So more to come. We'd like to acknowledge everybody in our NIMITS team, our NIMHD project officer, and everyone else, our staff that's out there, Lauren Southwick and Heather Carman, and everybody else who's contributed. Thank you very much. Thank you.